Yeah, my name is Alex Bevington, and I'm a PhD student at the University of Northern BC. And I also have a day job, which is a hydrologist for the government of British Columbia.
Great. Thank you so much for speaking with me today, Alex. So in your recently released paper, I read that using thousands of satellite images, investigators at the University of Northern British Columbia developed a novel method to systematically map and analyze changes in glacier and proglacier lakes within British Columbia and Alberta. So can you tell me and our listeners, what is this method that you used?
Yeah, so it's an automated method. So previously to do this kind of work, you'd look at satellite imagery and you delineate kind of manually by clicking, drawing, you know, circles or squares or polygons around glaciers and lakes, and that's how you would map these things. Or you would train a simple computer program to look at one glacier and automate the mapping based on the various colors and the various reflectance in imagery. And our method kind of combines the two in a little, in a way, and it uses previously mapped glaciers. So glaciers that were mapped in the 1980s and the 2000s and relies on those initial glacier maps. And then we automate the mapping within those polygons. And so what it does is it uses visible and near infrared and shortwave infrared and thermal infrared images, all these different wavelengths that are visible and non-visible wavelengths, and classifies satellite imagery into whether or not it's a glacier, whether or not it's a lake. And we're focusing on these glacier environments in this research.
Okay, and why is this work important to you?
Yeah, it's important. I mean, it's exciting in terms of the technology. It's important in terms of the last time glaciers were systematically mapped in British Columbia was in 2005. And so we have, you know, 15 years because our work ends in 2020. We don't push all the way to 2022 yet. So 15 years of unknown, you know, where are the glaciers sort of thing. There's a lot of work being done on glaciers with various data sets, a lot that look at this glacier, that glacier, kind of specific glaciers, or look at sort of coarse scale, you know, look at all the glaciers, but not at any great detail. And so this work is exciting because it brings together a lot of imagery at very high resolutions and updates previously kind of unknown, you know, locations for the glaciers.
And actually, that's a really nice lead into my next question. Where are Northern BC's glaciers located?
Yeah, great question. So, I mean, in this study, we did every glacier in British Columbia and Alberta. And in the mid-1980s, there were about 14,000 glaciers. And now there are quite a few more because as a glacier retreats, it also breaks up into pieces. And so there's something like 17,000 glaciers now. And they're located mostly in the mountains. These are not like the polar ice sheets that will you know, exist at low elevation. So these are high elevation glaciers. In northern BC, the vast majority of the ice is in the Coast Mountains and the North Coast Mountains, and the St. Elias Mountains as well. We have a little bit of the St. Elias Mountains in British Columbia. And then there's also some in the Northern Rockies. They're typically smaller, higher elevation glaciers. So anywhere you go in BC where you've got some big mountains, you'll probably find some glaciers up there.
Yeah, actually, kind of on a personal note, so as a person that's sort of new to northern BC, I visited the Salmon Glacier, and that's located about 25 kilometers north of Stewart in British Columbia, and then Hyder, Alaska. And it's just on the, I guess, the Canadian side of the border. And I read that that glacier is one of hundreds in the boundary ranges, but it's notable for its most potential as a natural hazard. What does that mean by it's notable as a potential natural hazard?
Yeah, so a lot of these glaciers actually present, they present hazards. So there are a whole bunch of different types of hazards I could discuss. Some of them are as certain glaciers retreat, the ice doesn't just melt like an ice cube on a countertop. Some of them will actually break off and catastrophically collapse. And if there's a lake in front of that glacier, which is often the case, that proglacial lake will then, you know, receive this big chunk of ice that's falling into it, and that can actually cause kind of a tidal wave or a small tsunami that that can overtop the banks of that lake and can actually, you know, flood downstream. And there's other hazards too, as glaciers retreat. There's sort of this interplay between the glacier and the slopes that the glacier is surrounded by. And as the glacier retreats and it's been there for a very long time, it's actually acted to sort of hold up those slopes. And as the glacier retreats, then you get something called debuttressing, or you can get these landslides that occur. And those landslides, because now you've got these steep, kind of oversteepened, unstable slopes, if those fall into a lake or, you know, onto a camp or onto, you know, anything that's in that environment, that's a definite hazard. And these events can be very, very large. There have been quite a few in the news in the last few years in British Columbia, these massive rock ice avalanches onto glaciers. And there was even just one over the holidays near the Burnie Glacier Chalet around where you guys live.
Oh, my. And how fast are these glaciers in your study shrinking? And then kind of as a follow-up, what are the effects of these shrinking glaciers, both long-term and short-term?
Yeah, so the overall, if you look at all of BC, because what we were able to do with this study is we looked at the size of glaciers for every year of the satellite record. So we get these nice, rich, kind of dense time series of how these have changed over time. And so for the majority of the time series, glaciers were retreating at something along the lines of 40 to 80 square kilometers per year for the entire region that we looked at. And then for the last 10 years of the time series, that has actually accelerated sevenfold to something along the lines of 340 square kilometers per year that we're losing. So it's accelerating quite a bit over time. And the implications there, the glaciers are important for quite a few reasons. They're important in different regions for different reasons. Some areas it's important for freshwater as a resource, for hydropower and hydroelectric power generation. Glaciers are important for stream temperature moderation for, you know, cold water adapted fish species. That's very important. So you'll see studies about how glaciers change and that changes the downstream water temperature. And it's also important as a hazard for any kind of communities or industry that is working in the mountains. And the northwest of BC notably has quite a few, you know, quite extraordinary setups in the mountains for mining and this and that, where, you know, industry is actually using glaciers as a way to access the mountains. So as these change, it's presenting a lot of opportunities for some, a lot of challenges for others. But the environment is certainly changing very quickly in these areas.
And is this the fastest that they've ever been recorded as shrinking?
It is, yeah. So, I mean, if you think of long timescales, you know, North America was once covered by a sheet of ice that was, you know, 2 to 3 kilometers thick. We don't go into that at all in this research, but there is a larger climate context to put this in, where, you know, of course, glaciers are retreating. However, what we've noticed is that there is a decoupling, right, of what we would expect glaciers to be retreating at and what they are retreating at. And, you know, there are many, many studies. We don't go into the specifics of how, you know, human activities and climate change are influencing these glaciers specifically. But there are quite a few studies that have done that already. And the link is very strong.
Okay, that's funny, actually, because the next question that I have actually does have to do about climate change. So I'll ask it, and if you feel like you can respond to it, that's fine. And if not, that's okay, we can move on. But when you release a paper like this, what is the public response? And then do you feel like a paper like this helps to affect the real way in which Canadians try to fight climate change?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I mean, at the most basic level of this paper, we're just reporting what is on the landscape. We're reporting it with new techniques, with very, you know, sophisticated algorithms, with, you know, tens of thousands of satellite images. And it's very, you know, interesting work, very compelling. And it's not with a certain narrative in mind, right? We're just reporting what is on the landscape. And it's, I think it's up to, you know, Canadians or the public to to figure out, you know, if you have any doubts, you know, of what climate scientists and glaciologists are saying. I mean, the evidence is extremely strong, and I would encourage anyone to try to kind of, you know, take a introspection, like, you know, look at your own life a little bit and think, you know, what do my actions have to do with these, you know, dramatic accelerations that we're seeing? And so, you know, if you think a lot of previous modeling has shown, you know, glaciers in British Columbia have about, I don't know, 100 years, you know, left, so to speak. There'll always be a few glaciers left in north facing steep slopes, but you know, we're showing that there's an acceleration. So maybe in my own lifetime, you know, we'll see that this acceleration continue, and, you know, the potential for glaciers to not be around anymore. We've lost 1,000 glaciers in this study that we've reported. 1,000 glaciers have fallen below our detectability. And so that's 1,000 out of the 14,000 initial glaciers.
Wow. Yeah, I guess if you don't believe in climate change, or if anyone does want to have that discussion, the proof is in the glaciers then.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Glaciers are very good at kind of reflecting what's happening in the atmosphere and the oceans and our activities, right?
Yeah, totally. Is there anyone else, Alex, that is doing research like this or glacial research that you find really interesting or unique that you think is important for people to pay attention to?
Yeah, I mean, I think we get bogged down as scientists in the weeds of, you know, a specific technique or a specific location or a specific workflow that we're trying to get to. But once you start incorporating these as like process chains or as these complex interconnected, you know, a fisheries biologist and a glaciologist are actually kind of interested in the same stuff, if you think about it, even though we're fundamentally studying different components of the landscape, it's all quite connected. And I think we're kind of getting to the point where glaciers are being incorporated into, you know, drought modeling, into fish habitat modeling, into all these really kind of, I think a lot of British Columbians or a lot of Canadians can think, you know, who cares if the glaciers are changing? They're way up in the mountains, that doesn't affect me. But if you think about our forest sector, you think about our mining sector, you think about, you know, wildlife, you think about communities and water security, I think there's a lot of reasons to be very concerned about what's happening to our glaciers.
Now, is there anything else that that I didn't ask that you think is important for people to know and understand or read more about the research that you've done and the paper that you've released?
Yeah, I think one of the aspects that I really like about this work is it's all publicly available deep data. It's data that's been made, you know, the imagery is made available by various governments. In our case, we used mostly Landsat satellite imagery, which is from the United States Geological Survey, and they release it for free to the public. And it's a record that goes, you know, almost four decades into the past. And so there's this, you know, transparency here, where this is all free public imagery. Anybody can do this work if you, you know, take the time and learn the techniques and all that kind of stuff. There's no secret $1 million data set. It's very exciting to have so much free data at our fingertips and the technology to be able to do this and come up with these compelling results that kind of show that our landscape is changing very quickly.
And for any of our listeners, if you do want to read the paper, it's available on sciencedirect.com, or you can also visit the UNBC website. So, Alex, I really want to thank you for speaking with me today, and then also helping to kind of understand the importance and the role that glaciers play in, I guess, kind of being a harbinger of paying attention to the way that we are currently treating the Earth and the functions that exist when you see one change happen.
Yeah, well, thanks a lot for the interest in our work, and I really enjoyed this conversation. Thanks for having me.